Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Man searches for his living soul, searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah, yeah. All the lies tell us just to set you free. What we need is that love, the love that comforts from heaven above.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, welcome once again to What the World Needs Now. And what the world needs now is love for sure, and God is love. One of the first little books I ever wrote called What the World Needs Now, actually. In that book, it's a little book about faith and hope and love and how to become more open to what God has called each one of us to be, to use all that he's given us to build up the kingdom of God, and how he loves each and every one of us as if there were only one of us to love. You know, in that book, it's not till the very end that I share the last page, what the world needs now is God. And my brothers and sisters, you know, yesterday I think I signed off. I don't know why I was thinking it was Wednesday. Still a little discombobulated time-wise. No sooner did I get back from Ireland, and of course, I was all over the place, kind of square. I spoke down there at a group of women down there, and then I was up at Nativity. I know where I was on the weekend. The beautiful Queen Mary Ministry, the Indian Conference. And so it's been, not able to catch my breath in a way. And so yesterday when I signed off, I said, have a wonderful 4th of July, and I'll see you after the holiday. Well, as it turns out, that was Tuesday, and today is Wednesday. So I do wish all of you a beautiful, blessed holiday. I hope that all of us will really take this time, and whether it's just to relax, or whether it's to get together with family and friends, then that's what we need to do. We need to really come together and remember this great, great country we have. Oh, there's a lot wrong with it, for sure. And I myself am very happy with a lot of things in the United States of America right now, as well as you are, and a little more disappointed every day in a lot of different things in regards to our culture and our and all the different things that are going on in our country. However, I wouldn't trade this country for any other country, and we just need to speak up and stand up so truth can indeed ring out. Going to open up the prayer line today. I didn't bring a guest in, and specifically because it was a holiday, and I thought you might like to share, call in today. You might like to share what you're going to be doing on the 4th of July. I just would remind everybody, maybe people are going down the shore. It's the beginning of their shore experience, or maybe they're going away on a vacation. We can never take a vacation from the Lord. We know that, and sometimes we forget. We'll take a lot of, you know, reading material down. We'll take, our bathing suits and our boardwalk clothes and take our appetites to go eat those delicious things on the boardwalk and then have an appetite for going out and having some great meals or just some meals in. But in all that excitement, we must never, ever put the Lord on vacation. He's with us always and everywhere, and he would want us to be very much a part of this 4th of July weekend, or the beginning of, the time to really begin to go away, and to, for all those people who are blessed to have shore houses. I know they go down almost every weekend, and that's a blessing. But once again, for those who are on vacation, let us remember that we can't take a vacation from the Lord ever. And on this 4th of July weekend, just want to remind everybody that tomorrow is the day we celebrate, is the 4th, the signing of the Declaration of Independence. And I just want to remind myself as well as each one of you that in celebrating such a crucial moment in the history of our own nation, and that's the signing of the Declaration of Independence, you know, there's something that we take for granted because we just live, you know, we live in a free country, and more and more all the time our own freedoms are starting to be stepped on and squashed. So I want to remind everybody today that, you know, we have to believe in our Constitution. We have to believe in our Declaration of Independence. We have to believe in our country so much that we're going to be counted. Our voice will be heard. And sometimes we wait till it's too late. So reminding everybody, including myself, about this wonderful 4th of July we're going to be celebrating. I couldn't help but remember that when that Declaration of Independence was first signed, it was a very, dangerous decision for every person who signed it, every man who signed it, or I shall say who dared to sign it. They probably didn't know if they were taking their own life in their hands. And of course, John Adams signed it. And when one of the things that he said, and to this very day, it strikes at my heart, particularly when I see all that's going on in the world, and we're not making the difference we should be making. This strikes at my very heart when I think of John Adams, when he signed the Declaration of Independence. Something to the fact, I think it was like, whether we live or die, sink or swim, succeed or fail. He said that he stands behind the Declaration of Independence. And then he said, if God wills it, I am ready to die in order that this country might experience freedom. Wow. It's one of our forefathers, John Adams. That's what he said, or something very close to that. I don't remember word for word, but remember, when he signed it, that's what he said. Whether we live or die, sink or swim, succeed or fail, he stands behind this Declaration of Independence. And then his next words were, if God wills it, I am ready to die in order that this country might experience freedom. You know, it was that kind of patriotism, that kind of valor, that kind of commitment, and that kind of heroism that led these forefathers of ours. And they were they were putting their life on the line. And when there's so much, you know, in our country today, it's a battle in our own hearts and our own spirits that takes place constantly of how much of a difference can we make. The good news is that God gives us the grace, the strength, all the ability to make a tremendous difference in the world, particularly because we have the greatest nation on God's green earth, my brothers and sisters. A lot of things awry in it for sure, and one of the most horrific things is the abortions that take place in this country. I pray all the time, God have mercy on our country. But I will say I'm beginning to see, and even though it took such a tragedy a woman dying and the Gosnell case coming to light, I think people began to see more clearly the horrific, horrific things that take place in these abortion mills. And so, that's one of the things I pray constantly for and against, that that God would enlighten our minds and our hearts of what more can we do. The best thing we can do is pray. We can pray that those who are seeking to destroy life will turn to life. We can pray that those who are being slaughtered in the womb, talk about terrorism. Wow, the terrorism takes place in our own country every single day, every single minute. A life is being attacked and ripped apart. And we can't remain silent when it comes to this. So I thought very, I think appropriately, that we must remember John Adams' words. This was the kind of commitment. And all those men who signed the Declaration of Independence, when you think about it, it was, they were putting their lives on the line. They were probably a little anxious and concerned that their lives itself would be taken. So we really have to say, do we want to live in a country that isn't free? Or do we want to live in these great United States of America? Then let's take our country back. Not in a harsh way or a violent way, but take it back by prayer. Take it back by the great system we have, this democracy where we can put people in office and take them out of office. This is the way we need to fight. This is the way we need to stand tall and push back when the people are being trampled on, when the people and their will is being tried to be stamped out, or their freedom be stamped out. This is the beauty of our country. We do have the means and to be able to make a difference, to influence our own society, and that's with the vote. So, once again, I just praise and thank God for this beautiful country of ours. I pray that God will be merciful on us, and I pray that the words of this, America the Beautiful, that God indeed will shed his light on us to dispel the darkness that we live in so many different ways. Today, if you'd like to call in, give us a call, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Maybe you'd like to even have a voice about what I just said. And did you know that? Did you know that John Adams made that statement himself when he signed the Declaration of Independence? So give a call, 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906, or you can call it by dialing 1-888-343-2484. That is our toll-free line. You can call that anywhere in the United States, toll free. So give a call. Maybe you'd like to make a statement about what I just share with you, or maybe you would like to tell us what you're doing with your family. And again, sorry I signed off yesterday. I don't know what I was thinking, but I'm blessed to be able to be with you again today. And I hope you have a beautiful and blessed 4th of July, the entire weekend. And if you're going on vacation, your entire vacation. Once again, I will be reading the gospel in a little bit and expounding on that. But let me take this caller right now. If you'd like to call in, 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Or you can call toll-free by dialing 1-888-34 and the word faith. 1-888-34 and the word faith. Or you can dial it out, 1-888-343-2484. Let's take this call. Hi, is it Fred?
Yes, this is Fred.
Hi.
I want to talk about the Tea Party and what happened to it. I believe that they were doing quite a bit of positive things, good things.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were focused on the outrage of the bailout.
Right.
Originally, I think the government spent about $13 trillion in cash and credit on that, and I think they basically at their meetings, basically the Republican Party saw it as a way to get elected, but they didn't listen to the message of the Tea Party.
Right. I agree with you.
And, you know, it would be actually cheaper if you could take $13 or $14 trillion and divide it up among, I mean, I'm not advocating this, but if you divide it up among everyone in the country, that's one way of looking at spending. But basically, the spending that they did, almost all of that money, about $9 trillion, is not really accounted for. Not in a professional accountant's kind of a way. It's fungible money,
yeah.
Money that's basically given to industries or to banks that ask for it from the Federal Reserve, and it's not going to be repaid.
And I think everybody knows that, Fred. That's a sad thing. It is not going to be repaid, and I think. As you say, I don't know what exactly went wrong, except that it was a great tool, and they wasted it.
The derivative market collapsed. What happened was that the banking industry became a stock market in itself. It decided to not issue bonds, but issue. You know, games or
right.
derivatives,
right?
And then, of course, with the government funding the mortgage business, then all this extra money became available to be poured into derivatives that were basically is not suited to flow into derivatives. Then when that collapsed, after about 7 or 8 years, completely collapsed, the banking system. Almost completely collapsed, and Wall Street did, and so the government had to make them whole, but they didn't ask for anything in return.
Yep, that's right.
It was like 37% of the ongoing spending of the federal government was poured into the bailouts, plural bailouts.
Yeah, plural.
And I was part of the Tea Party movement, and I think, you know, there had to be, you know, there were so many issues that I think they could not decide which was the most important issue. But what this bailout thing happened changed us more or less forever, because I don't think if you have any kind of money to invest in something, you really don't want to invest in anything except something super conservative now.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, Fred, I mean, you have a good point. And one of the things we have to remember, too, you know, people are often, it's about being well-informed. You're very well-informed, and not everybody is. And the bottom line is that even some of the people, you know, so many Tea Party candidates were voted in because so many of us believed in their whole, you know, their whole stand and all the different stands they took for you know, conservative views and so forth.
Well, you had brought up the fact that, you know, the Constitution does not seem to be followed.
Yep.
You know, it seems like about 80% of what is passed isn't really constitutional.
It isn't.
And the Tea Party, I think, was focusing on that and
yeah.
focusing on the bailouts. But I think the Republican Party didn't really need well, it did need them at a certain point in time. The Tea Party said, well, we don't want to wait all these extra election cycles to get our candidates in, so they made an alliance. But what happened was the Tea Party got swamped by the Republican politicians.
You're and absolutely they, right, Fred.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what took place.
Thank you.
And it's sort of like they couldn't see the trees for the forest anymore, and they lost the very vision, I think, that they really had, which was a very good one.
Definitely people have to help each other in this period because, you know, they tell us that the economy is recovering, except the fact that, you know, there is a lot of deprivation and also there's a lack of work of useful work out there. You know, you can do things that are just feel like you're running in a circle, but there seems to be no direction to or less of a direction for the society as a whole. And you get I hear about these countries that are just have an intense direction, China and these countries in the continent of Asia, and they're just pointed like arrows, expecting to be leading and for us to basically, you know, give them co-leadership and then after a short period of time to bow out completely.
Right.
And I don't know how we're going to be able to handle that, because I believe that we have the history and we've been blessed for very good reasons.
That's right.
And I don't think we should advocate that leadership role, but it seems like the government is not willing to take up the role of leader again.
Fred, bingo, you're absolutely right. As a matter of fact, they almost apologize that we have been a leader and that we have been really across the world looked up to, not looked down on. And mm-hmm. and I think that precedent has gone out and has weakened.
And I just want to mention this, that I'm looking at the statistic here in this list that I saw in April. It said a portion of the world's countries in which Christians face religious harassment. Now, it's a little bit of a slightly different topic, but that has been something that has been growing. Part of it has to do with our interference in countries, and then they lash out the people of those countries. It's like 108 to 110 countries around the world, Christians face religious harassment.
Yeah.
And I think that you know, it's not going to be solved by another one or two or three more wars. You know how a country will start to double down and you know, get into more wars when the results haven't been too clear on the ones they've been involved with. And I don't really see that we have healthy people to send over to these countries to more wars. We have to have people that are willing to volunteer and that are healthy and that are not disabled to go over there. And they come, of course, they come back disabled in a lot of cases. Well, and we're running out of people who can do that.
Well, Fred, you know, this is something that we should never forget. I mean, as a matter of fact, Japan did it, Germany did it, Italy did it. I mean, there was a time when they mistook kindness for weakness. And even though we were attacked and surprised, the cream rises to the top. And when this country is pressed, the United States of America, our country will rise up. I believe that. I believe there's so many people there that are valiant people, that are committed people to our country, that when push comes to shove, they're going to stand up. And it might take what it might take. We might not like, but I can see no other way of happening right now. I'll tell you what, there's something that we can never forget, Fred. You alluded to it a couple moments ago, and that's the closing words of our own declaration, you know, and it's stated very clearly, you know, towards the end of the declaration when it says, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. And I think that's where we've fallen down a notch. We've put ourselves in the position of trusting ourselves. We put a war can do it. That's never going to solve anything. What we have to do is have that firm reliance on the protection of God.
And I think that one of the problems is that you have to have a clear conception of what's the most important thing as a person or as a group or as a country. We have to start. You do have to give up something. You do have to have a priority list. I want to leave with you this saying: to govern is to choose. And if you govern the affairs of your own life the right way, you're going to have to basically give up some interests, give up luxuries.
Right.
And then if enough people want to do the same thing, they can make sense as to their priorities for the country. But right now, I think it's like escapism that's ruling. And then, of course, you have the idealists, you know, young men and women go over to these wars and stuff. But you still have to have us, you know, deciding on a basis that makes sense.
Yeah.
As to what is our priorities, and I don't think that we have the national wealth to waste like we've been wasting,
yeah.
Kathleen, we're not making anything here.
You can't keep printing money for other people. You're right. We can't just keep printing money. You're absolutely right. And until we begin to have the right priorities in our own country and to say what are the most important things in this country.
Priorities after we basically search our consciousness and then get the priorities. Not just, you know, here's the answer to this problem. That's the first priority.
Right.
Is to maybe raise some taxes here or complain about something but something that will, fall into this thing of this theme of sacrifice or governing ourselves.
Yeah.
And to govern is to choose, and you're going to have to choose.
That's right.
What isn't a priority. I've heard it said that 1/3 of all the wheat in that's produced in the United States, it goes towards beer and liquor.
Yep.
What's
that tell you?
That's a lot of food right there.
Right.
And that's shocking to hear that.
Yeah. But again, Fred, you're one of those people that are very well informed, and so many people in our country aren't today. So they don't realize till it's too late that what people are trying to bring forth Tea Party at one point, and just people that are that really understand the Constitution, understand the Declaration of mm-hmm. Independence, and the solemnity of it for the United States of America. Until that happens, you know what, we're in for a big shock. And
what's the name of your program? I'm the first time I've called in.
Oh, okay. It's What the World Needs Now.
What the World, isn't that funny? I've been talking about it. I didn't catch the name of the program yet. We're talking about What the World Needs Now, and it is a lot of prayer. It's a lot of
it's about like sacrifice,
forming a consciousness.
Yep, sacrifice.
And it's not so much a bucket of dollar bills, but how you live.
Right.
So that you can generate those various things, whether it's money or whether it is community, whatever it is that you're generating, you have to have a way of generating that, and you have to have your priorities right.
That's right.
After you search your conscience, and the country is just seems to be going in the area of escapism. Someone who is a president looks good, and yet he seems to, I think he spends $50 million on each and every week that he goes on a vacation, or maybe it's more than, maybe it's $75
million.
Yep, I never heard of anyone before President Obama spending that much money going on a vacation. I mean, doesn't he get about $2 million a year in salary?
He does, but you know what? I can tell you, from the bottom of my heart, it happens on both sides, and until we come together as one nation under God again and realize how blessed this country is and how this is a land of milk and honey, and we've taken it for granted, we've squandered our worth, we've turned our backs on our Lord and our God who gave us this great nation, and we forget.
Let me ask you this: what do you think?
I'm going to have to take a break, so we're going to have to do it quick. Go ahead.
What do you think? Just on a very practical question, what do you think? What industry or what kind of production is going to be the biggest gain for us? Is it going to be natural gas? Is it going to be a service industry? How can we compete? And just a couple of industries. I want to hear what you think about that.
Well, actually, I'm going to tell you. If you want to do this by email, that's better. Because I do have to take a break now. And when I come back, I'm going to have to open up the lines for the other people that are waiting. And Fred, I'm glad you called in. Great talking with you. And quite frankly, I think one of the main things we need to do before we even talk about what kind of industry is going to put us back on sound footing, we have got to be willing to sacrifice. And that means we cannot be a welfare state the way we are. And until we begin to see that we only, that it's really the churches should be taking care of the poor and the needy. And for the poor and the needy, I say, whatever they need, we should be supplying from the state level. I believe in it. I am grateful for everything that God has given me, and I want everybody else to have what God wants for them. But on the same token, there's people that have to come into agreement in this country and say, it has to stop. The needy, yes, but there's so many out there that we have truly stifled and taken away their dignity by giving them a handout instead of a hand up. God bless you, Fred.
Okay, well, what's your email?
Kathleen?
Yes.
At inhissign.com.
Inhissign.com. Inhissign.com.
Yep.
Thank you.
All right, God bless you, Fred.
Right.
Have a beautiful holiday.
Okay, thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Well, my brothers and sisters, we're going to take a little break. We'll be right back. Don't go away. And give us a call, 610-527-2906. I will be going into the gospel and expounding on that.
We thank God for our one Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, where Jesus remains present to us until the end of the age, in word and in sacrament. Catholic Radio shares in the ministry of the Church to proclaim the gospel to the ends of the earth, and in his Sion Catholic Radio has been doing so for over 30 years. Kathleen McCarthy, and in his Sion, has been empowered by the Holy Spirit to bring the fire of God's healing love to the world through Catholic Radio and the Internet. With God's grace, his word goes out, healing hearts and transforming lives. In his Sign proclaims the culture of life loud and clear in a culture of death. The ministry's mission is to evangelize, catechize, and to be a voice for those who have no voice, proclaiming the truth that will set all people free. To our faithful family and friends who stand with us, thank you for being missionaries with us by supporting In His Sign Catholic Radio. Without your monthly support of prayer and financial giving, our mission would not be able to continue. Our mission voice would be silenced. To our new listeners, please prayerfully consider joining our monthly circle of family and friends by partnering with us financially each month. All donations are completely tax deductible and go directly to our daily expenses, like the purchase of radio airtime and keeping the lights on. All of the staff at In His Sign, even Kathleen McCarthy, the president, donates all of their time and talent on a volunteer basis at no expense to the ministry. Donations to In His Sign Catholic Radio may be sent to 136 Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, PA, 19010, or you can donate securely at inhissign.com. Remember, without your prayers and financial support, our mission voice will be silenced.
Well, we're back again. This is Kathleen McCarthy. You are listening to What the World Needs Now, and I encourage you to call in. I am going to read the gospel for today. And then I'll open the phone lines up for you. Some of you have been very patient. The phone number here is 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. Talked a little bit the first half on this great country of ours and how we really are having our freedoms taken away a little bit more each day. We're being lulled to sleep, my brothers and sisters. And we better use this 4th of July to really understand the great sacrifices that were made for this country by our own forefathers. And I talked a little bit about that. We had a caller, Fred, call in and opened up some great conversation in regards to the country and the shape we're in economically, spiritually, and culturally. So for sure, we have an awful lot that has to be done. I was sharing real quickly that for us, we have to remember particularly this 4th of July, looking back on our country, that this Declaration of Independence declared our dependence upon God. You know, in a time of world turmoil, the United States today is rapidly forgetting the God of our fathers, the God who gave this nation its birth and its greatness. And I think that's something we really have to, until we begin to wake up in that area, we're not going to come together. We're not going to be willing to sacrifice. We're not going to be willing to do the things that we have to do, because it has to come, that hunger, that thirst for a godly nation, once again, one nation under God. We are in need of a wake-up call, my brothers and sisters. If we don't wake up, God will wake us up. I can guarantee you that. And let us remember that on, you know, the closing words of the Declaration states. And once again, and I start, I just went in to Google it and brought the words up. I alluded to them. This is what the Declaration solemnly states. With a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Isn't that awesome? You know, it's important for all of us to remember this declaration of their dependence upon God. For sure, the United States is in its own trouble, in its own turmoil, and we can't forget the God of our fathers who raised our forefathers up and gave us this great nation, the greatest nation, as I say, on God's green earth. Let us not take it for granted. I'm going to open up to the gospel readings, as I always do. And this is from John. Well, that's the alternating one today. Matthew 8, 28 through 34. And when he came to the other side, to the country of the Gadarenes, two demonics met him, and coming out of the tombs, so fierce that no one would pass that way. And behold, they cried out, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" Now a herd of many swine was feeding at some distance from them. And the demons begged him, "If you cast us out, send us away into the herd of swine." And he said to them, "Go." So they came out and went into the swine, and behold, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and perished in the waters. The herdsmen fled, and going into the city, they told everything they seen and what had happened to the demoniacs. And behold, all the city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to leave their neighborhood. You know, it's really amazing. All came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they begged him to leave their neighborhood. Here's the Savior of the world. And what does he do? He frees these people that were held bound, who were tormented. They were there was two of these demoniacs met him coming out of the tomb. So they were roaming around in cemeteries, and they were so fierce that no one could pass that way. We've, you know, there's different telling of that same story in different gospels, and we know that they were so fierce that people were scared to death to walk anywhere near there because they were afraid of being killed or murdered. And they tried to chain these demoniacs up, and they were so strong, nothing helped them. And then Jesus, what's he do? He comes, he sets them free. He casts out the demons. He sent them into the herd. And it's amazing, isn't it? Do you feel the way I feel with this gospel? It's so amazing that the demons recognize the holiest of God. They recognize Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. And they were petrified. "What are you going to do with us?" That's what they said. "Oh, Son of God, have you come here to torment us before the time?" In other words, before the time of your own crucifixion. They were scared to death of Jesus. They were afraid of his power. And the demons knew that in a word only, he had the power to cast them out and send them into the herd. And he was so good that he didn't even, he sent all of the swine then, the whole herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea and perished in the waters. So what do the people do? They blame it on Jesus Christ. They blame it on God, not the fact that the demons were inside of them, that he freed these people. How about us? Do we ever feel driven by different forces beyond our own strength? You know, the possessed people were driven mad by the force of evil spirits. And yet, isn't it amazing that the one person who could set them free, the person who called forth the demons from these men, and you know, both Mark and Luke in their gospel accounts of this, describe this force as legion. Legion means, you know, an army of 6,000 strong. So for the people at that time who were hemmed in by occupied forces, a legion, whether human or supernatural, struck terror. And yet they failed to bow down before the Lord. They failed to recognize that Jesus could save them. They were so afraid of those demons before they were cast out. They were so afraid of them. No one would go near them. They were like legions. And yet, this Jesus who wanted to save them, wanted to set them free, he calls the demons out of the men. And they went, you know, they went and told everybody what they had seen. The herdsmen went and going into the city, they told everything. Everything. And they said what happened to the demoniacs. And what do? They asked Jesus to leave. How many people in the world do you think today, rather than accept Jesus who can break all bondage, rather than accept the love and the mercy and power and healing and wisdom and knowledge of God, they'd rather tell them to get out. We've done that in this country, my brothers and sisters. I hear all the time, well, where was God when these massacres happened in the schools? Well, guess what? We sent them out of our school system. We're not even allowed to pray in school. We're not even allowed to say the name of Jesus. We can curse. We can use all kinds of four-letter words. We can do all kinds of things. But we can't pray. What's wrong with this picture? It's the same thing 2,000 years later, 2,000 plus. The same things taking place. We ask the Lord to get out of our schools. We're trying to get them out of, sanitize them right out of our country. And that's why our country's in the shape it's in. Because we are no longer a country who believed in the great sacrifice of our forefathers, who were willing to lay down their lives, their fortunes, and to put their own agendas on hold, that they could come together with one mind, one heart, and one spirit for this wonderful country that would be born, this land of milk and honey, this wonderful country that these forefathers claimed total dependence on divine providence. And yet, here we are today. We're in the same boat. We're doing the same thing. We are, you know, we've asked Jesus to leave our town, leave our schools, leave our, now they're pressing on the hospitals, you know. They don't want to respect our freedoms, our religious freedoms. So what now? Do we tell Jesus to get out of the Catholic hospitals? No, we will close them down first. And so these are some of the things that we're We tell Jesus all the time to get out of our country in different ways. And then we ask, where's God when a tragedy happens? Well, we ask them to leave. And we set in laws to get them out of our country, to get them out of our schools, to take down the Ten Commandments. This is what we've done 2,000 years later. We're no different than the people that, went back and told everything that they saw that Jesus did. Here, Jesus took pity on these men. He took pity on them. He overcame these destructive demons because he took pity on these men. And yet again, rather than allow our dependence on the God who gave us this country, on his divine providence, we make laws so that he has less and less and less and less to do with our country. It's amazing. Anyway, my brothers and sisters, once again, we all, every one of us, have destructive forces at work in our own lives. And what we have to do is bow before the Jesus, bow before him, imploring his mercy and asking him to set us free. Do you know there's no power so great on earth that's more powerful than God? No matter what addictions there are, no matter what problems, what circumstances, when we really implore our Lord, when we come to him and kneel before him and we'll, say, Lord, we know you're God, we're not. And I'm sorry for all the ways that I've pushed you out of my life. And I see that on my own, I see there's so much destructive force in my life, in my family's life. I see all those forces coming against me. Lord, I bend my knee to you. At the name of Jesus, we shall bend. Every knee shall bend on the earth, above the earth, and below the earth. Every knee shall bend at the name of Jesus. We've taken his name. And we've blasphemed it, we've cursed it, we've tried to remove it from everything. In God we trust, even that. And that's why our country's in the shape it's in. That is indeed why. So you and I, we should pray that God would take pity on us and our country and come against the destructive forces by the people who are faithful and love the Lord, people who will turn away from our evil ways, people who call upon his name that's above every other name, to please, please come back into our country. Please give us your divine protection once again. Please give us your peace on earth. That's what we need. That's what we're called to. So Lord Jesus, we ask today with this gospel reading that you would indeed break the bonds that hold all of us bound and give us the grace to be able to open ourselves up to receive your healing presence in our lives, to give us peace where there's turmoil, to give us joy where there's such sorrow and grief, to give us light where there's darkness, to fill us with your love where there's discord and disharmony and anger and resentment and bitterness in our families and in our country. Give us the freedom, Lord, to love as you love. Give us the freedom, Lord Jesus, to become all that you call us to be. And may there be nothing at all that would ever separate us from you. We know nothing can separate us from your love. We know that. But what we need, Lord, is the gift of faith and hope and trust in you and in your name that's above every other name. So, Lord, fill us with that grace, please. Fill us and with the confident assurance that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you're the Lord of lords and King of kings. So, Father, I want to praise and thank you for the great gift of this country. I want to praise and thank you, Lord Jesus, for all the ways that you've blessed our country. And we ask today, Lord, that you would touch all of our lives to help us depend more and more on you. And so, Lord, we ask that you would bless us as we gather with our families and our friends. Whether it's a time of relaxation or it's a time just to come together and remember these wonderful people who were willing to lay down their lives to sign that Declaration of Independence. They left England and they had a dream and a vision. Freedom for all. Freedom for all religions. Freedom for all people. We don't have that anymore in America. We ask you to bless our country, Lord, and remember that we might remember very clearly John Adams' words, whether we live or die, sink or swim, succeed or fail, that we too will stand behind this Declaration of Independence, and if God wills it, that we are ready to die in order that we in this country might remain free. My brothers and sisters, I pray God's choicest blessings upon you. I hold you all close in my heart, and I say to you that if any of you are away from the Lord, away from our one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, come on home, will you? We miss you, and we're not complete without you. So I ask today that you make your way back, because his name's above every other name. His name is above every problem, every situation, every bit of turmoil. So until we meet again, call on the name of Jesus and bow before him. Let him be Lord of your life so that your life can be full and he can give you life and have it in abundance. May he hold you close to his sacred heart through the Immaculate Heart of his Mother Mary. Till we meet again, God bless you and remember who you belong to in these United States of America. This is God's country. God bless you.